Welcome back to Copper Country Today, heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on 1400 AM, 99.3 FM WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBear 102.3. Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. Special thanks to Dr. Rolf Peterson for joining me in the first segment to talk about all things Isle Royal. But for now, my guest in the second segment is Brent Peterson, chairman of the board of directors of the Keweenaw Community Foundation. Mr. Peterson, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation to come and talk about our foundation.
I guess you can start off. Tell us a little bit about the KCF and what you guys do for the community.
Sure. The Keweenaw Community Foundation's mission statement is pretty simple. Basically, is to promote philanthropy, develop and manage permanent endowments, you know, from a broad range of donors and award charitable grants that enhance the quality of life in the community.
So I mentioned you are the chairman of the board of directors. I mean, you don't have to list off who they are with names and everything, but who makes up the board of directors?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we do have a structure. We've got about 14 board members right now, several good working committees, an executive committee. That's the board of directors. They are all volunteers. They take time out of their busy schedules to try to manage the day-to-day or the higher-level operations of the foundation. We do have an office staff. We have a full-time executive director and then two part-time staffers that help to run the day-to-day operations of the Keweenaw Community Foundation. So that's the basic structure. The executive director is really the face of the organization. Our new executive director, Jim Vivian, has they've got a lot to do. But basically, to put it simply, we're endowments. We're like the savings account for the community. So versus the checking account, which is kind of day to day type of thing. The endowments are permanent. So part of the job is to grow and promote fund development to our endowments. And then the more money we have in our endowments, the more money we can grant each year. So that's a significant portion of the executive director and really the board to grow those endowments. Of course, we grant money. And this year we were able to grant quite a bit of money because our endowments are larger. And then the other part of the foundation in terms of what we do, and this is really a combination of the executive director, the staff, and the board, is to kind of collaborate, look in the community, look for needs, try to problem solve, bring folks together, bring smaller groups together, and try to problem solve to enhance the quality of life in the area. So that's kind of the overall objective of the Community Foundation and our structure.
You mentioned the new director, Jim Vivian. I guess you can talk a little bit. What were you looking for as a board? What were you looking for in a prospective director?
Well, that's a good question. This is a job that requires many hats. It's not just someone that we want in the office. I think probably the primary objective what we're looking for is someone to get out of the office, get out there and meet the members of our community, see what the needs are. Certainly, as I mentioned, fund development is quite important to us. If we're not growing, we're shrinking and we want to grow. So someone that has those types of skills to sit down with people, get to know them, get to know what their passions are, where they like to give, is probably the most important thing. And then obviously you need to have a good good people skills, but also good skills and in terms of organization within the office. And that's where the two part-time staffers would come in. So good managerial type of skills. Another important piece we looked at was a type of strategic type of thinking. We want someone with a vision and where we want this organization to be in 3 years and 5 and 10 years. So someone that can lead in that type of planning was important also.
And Mr. Vivian, a well-known person in the community, I guess if you had to pinpoint one thing about him that really sold you guys, what would it be?
You know, I just think his ability to communicate, he's very thoughtful in his words and how he communicates. You can kind of see him thinking out ahead, mm-hmm. And that's someone I think you want as a leader, to kind of set a vision and pull people to along with that vision. And then, you know, I think he'd be real comfortable talking to people that are looking to potentially give to organization. Like I said, help them identify, you know, needs. So that probably for us was the biggest selling point on Jim.
He'll be taking over for Barb Rose. I guess it so much can be said about her impact. What kind of a impact, from your perspective, did you see with her on the Keweenaw Community Foundation and on the local community as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. We were fortunate to have Barb here for almost 9 years. When she came to us, the size of the community foundation was much smaller than what it is now. If there were one thing that I think would stand out about Barb and her performance, would probably be her passion, you know, for the area, for the foundation. She spent a lot of time and energy, and that passion kind of rubbed off on people. So when at board meetings or prospective donors or around the community, I think people kind of got that and kind of fell in line with what she was trying to say. So to me, it was just her work ethic and her passion was, you know, quite inspiring, actually.
What were some of the, I guess, projects that maybe she was directly involved in that she will be remembered for?
You know, that's a good question. We've got over 100 endowments, I think 110 or somewhat something like that. When she came here, we had about $2.5 million or so in under management. Now we're north of 7. So just to create, you know, a lot of good endowments, to grow that many, I think over 60, basically, in her tenure here, you know, that's quite impressive, which that's filling a lot of need in the community. So mm-hmm. I think if you had to pin it down, that's probably it. Just increasing the size of our reach, our fingers in the community was her biggest asset. And then, of course, growing these assets, having fund development to get these assets to a much larger size, which means more money to grant in the community. So I think she should be quite proud of it, and she deserves a little rest. She's sitting down in North Carolina right now, I'm sure, or on her way. So that's a good testament to how hard she worked and the people she surrounded herself with and the people she helped inspire.
You're listening to Copper Country Today, here with my guest Brent Peterson from the Keweenaw Community Foundation. Some numbers I can run through for the yearly recap. Granted over $200,000 to over 60 community organizations, attracted 44 more donors than the year previous, which raised over $300,000, and then increasing the total assets to just under $7 million with a total of 108 funds. I guess, would you call that a success?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still, you know, that's something to be proud of. You know, the foundation has grown significantly over the years. So I think, and that is a testament to Barb and the work she's done, and the previous board members that have come before us and previous staff members all had a hand in it. So, you know, I think it's an opportunity to maybe pause and be proud of that. But at the same point, we're not where we want to be. We want to be much larger than that. And there's still a ton of need in our community. Mm-hmm. So maybe you take a quick break here and pat yourself on the back slightly, but there's not a lot of time to do that. So now there's a lot of good work ahead of us, and I think this will be where Jim kind of comes in here as a new executive director. We have a couple of new board members, and to kind of evaluate where we're at as a foundation, where we like to be in the next 3-5 years, and in terms of assets, in terms of funds, in terms of granting into the community. Those are all things that will be a work in progress, and it's going to be exciting to kind of plan the next stage of the foundation.
I mean, so looking back at this, the previous year, we'll start with the positives. Brewfest was very, very positive. I remember I covered Brewfest for ABC 10, and I thought to myself, you know what, I'll probably, you know, show up, you know, at the beginning. There won't be a lot of people. I'll be able to get, you know, a couple. Right when I got there, it was just everybody was there. What makes an event like Brewfest so successful?
Well, I think we've got an incredible team of volunteers. Mike Rose, Barb's husband, is kind of the spearhead in that, and he's done an incredible job to organize the event. You know, it's just a good event, kind of end of the summer. It brings people together. You know, these are popping up all over the country. So the weather's, knock on wood, is usually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting together for a good cause and have a little fun is not a bad idea. You know, we've had, over 1,300 people attend last year. Our four-year revenues are approaching $100,000, which went into six separate endowments, which again will come back to the community. I think we had 150 types of beer and 42 breweries represented. So, you know, that's been, you know, actually quite surprising at how quickly that has taken off. And now people kind of mark it on their calendars as an event to stay in town for. I like that you have kind of a broad cross-section of people that attend. You have even some of the students that are of age, and the broad range of community. You have young people, you have old people, you have everyone in between, and it seems to be a good event that helps to bring the community together.
Did you like how the brick fundraiser turned out?
Yeah, that was another success from last year. Again, this is perhaps a good example of a partnership or collaboration in our community. That was Houghton Rotary. They came to us kind of with an idea. John Juline was the lead person on this. He's our board on our board, and they helped us with some money to get this project off the ground. And if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, it's the Kestner Park down at Houghton Waterfront. That as you come out of the parking lot across the bridge, there was kind of a rundown, dilapidated boardwalk that would get you to the chutes and ladders and the pavilions. And we wanted to do something better than that, so we had a brick fundraiser where donors can purchase a brick, varying sizes, small to quite large. And so now that area is, of course, covered in snow, but we've got a good portion of those bricks laid that will continue the project in the spring. So if you're interested and like to see your name written permanently on some bricks, it's actually beautifully done. It's going to be quite nice down there. And a lot of people are using these as, you know, in memory of type of thing, or folks that have passed away or putting their children's name on there to help them kind of get involved in this type of philanthropy. So it's a great project, and we've raised over $27,000 in that. A lot of that money will go into the Houghton Rotary Scholarship Program, so that will directly come back to Houghton kids or kids in our area. So, but that was a good example of collaboration with the Houghton Rotary Club and the Keweenaw Community Foundation to get that project off the ground.
You're listening to Copper Country Today here with my guest Brent Peterson from the Keweenaw Community Foundation. You brought up community needs, and there's so many several ones. Do you feel like in the past year that there has been one that's really been helped out, really been concentrated on this past year?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, you look at our community and all of the great organizations, you know, I mean, you can go down the list, Little Brothers, Friend of the Elderly, Omega House, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know if there's one need that's greater than the other. It's almost overwhelming to look at and to focus on one over the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'll even try, but I think one common challenge we all share is kind of the now and the future. So, for example, I mentioned that we continually have to fundraise to keep our doors open, or that checking account. We need to bring in money to make sure that we're doing the things that we're doing, and so do all the other great organizations. So how do we help them do that, but also at the same time plan for the future so they can have like their own savings account or their own endowment, or that they can pull off money off that endowment to help fund operations and that would perhaps reduce the pressure of going out and fundraising and allow them to focus on more what they're in business to do. For example, little brother spending more time helping folks that need it, you know. So that's a gigantic challenge, but you got to start somewhere, and that's hopefully what we're trying to do. Is and then going forward, how do you pull all these organizations together? How do you identify a need? Can you consolidate any of them together to help them? You know, those are challenges that I think our community faces over the next, you know, long period of time, whether a decade or two, you know. So those are some opportunities that I think we can probably help facilitate that, but it's most definitely a challenge. It's hard to for these groups to put money away for the future when they have a most definite need today to keep their doors open. So a challenge.
We talked about the fundraising aspect, but there's also donors that are
correct
involved. What is the, I guess, the makeup of these donors? Is it usually major groups, individuals? Who are these donors?
Yeah, good question. You know, it's a little bit of everyone. There is corporate sponsors that help sponsor our events. There's individuals, and that individual is ranging from, you know, younger people just starting out that don't have the resources that will buy a ticket to our Kiwanis Gold, for example, or people towards the end of their life that are doing some estate planning that will remember in us in their estate planning wishes. So, you know, perhaps that gift doesn't come through immediately, but once they pass, I mean, that individual kind of can take comfort in, all right, I'm leaving some assets to this foundation or this endowment or this group that will kick in down the road. So That type of planning is a little bit more complex. Usually that's with their financial professionals or attorneys, that type of thing. Generally, those are the larger gifts that come in. So it's really a broad cross-section. Even a $25 gift from someone that's all they have the resources for helps. It just that's kind of cool to see that interest from the entire community.
A couple of weeks ago, I think maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I had a few of the members of the Youth Advisory Council on here, and just amazing the amount of work they do to balance it with their schoolwork. How important of a sector is the Youth Advisory Council to the KCF?
They are incredibly important. You know, that was actually kind of the beginning of the Portage Health Foundation. They received some money, the Youth Advisory Council received some money from the Kellogg's Foundation back in 92, 93 or something like that. And the intent of that was to promote philanthropy amongst our youth in our area. And if anyone's had an opportunity to spend time with these kids, as you did, they are incredible. I mean, you talk about our future leaders. They're sitting there right now. So they've been involved. Essentially, we turn over everything to them. They report to the board on what they're doing, but this is all on them. They will survey the needs of the community, interview their peers, their classmates, and identify areas of need. I believe their last go-around with this, if you've you've seen this in the media a lot with the bullying campaign.
The UP Kids.
Yeah, the UP Kids bullying campaign. They were in schools. They created a program to go in the schools, and that's all of them. Currently right now, they have a book drive going on. Mm-hmm. So this is all initiated by them. Very little help from the adults on our board. They just kind of report back to us. And to see them take the initiative, the thought process that has gone into it, and then to actually put out requests for proposals, analyze those proposals, have tough questions for those that are applying for those grants, and then award ultimately those grants. So I think last year they gave over almost $22,000 to grants in our area, which is quite incredible. But that is all. Yeah, 15 grants, $21,179 went into our area. But this is all done by the youth. So it's quite impressive just to hear them talk about their process. you know, the questions they ask you, you know, if we're going to give you this money, you need to prove to us that it's going to go to where you say, and you're going to follow up back with us. It's very, very impressive. So we are quite proud of them. We have Joan Chatty does an excellent job, and we have new board member Jennifer Fuller that's going to help out with that. But they're kind of leading that group. But we're quite proud of that group.
And staying with, I guess, the topic of youth in the community, the KCF does have scholarship opportunities.
Yeah, I believe last year we awarded 8 scholarships, which are that have been set up in the past, and there's monies in those endowments, and each year that they're able to grant to prospective students. Anyone can set up a scholarship through us. It's really, you know, I believe we have had you know, a couple of faith-based scholarships, and the Bernard Gaffney scholarship at Houghton, and Houghton Rotary, I mentioned their scholarship, and there's several others. So yeah, that's just one of our endowments, scholarship endowments.
And there was another endowment that just passed my mind right now with the city of Hancock, in terms of the I believe it was the Parks and Recreation. How important is something like that to just the city of Hancock, with when there's so many different kinds of parks and people can now contribute to those?
Yeah, and this is significant. I know Barb was working on this for quite some time, and with Glenn Anderson at the city, and I believe Jim may have just you know, tidied all that up or working on the final details. But what this is, it's a Parks and Recreation endowment where folks can gift to it, and those dollars that will 100% be gifted off of that endowment will go directly to enrich the parks and recreation in the city of Hancock. Perhaps some trails, you know, recreation opportunities, bike trails, hiking trails, etc. Forever. So it's exciting. You know, a lot of times budgets are stretched and there isn't resources in budgets for those types of recreational opportunities. And to have an endowment under our umbrella, I think, is quite exciting. Hopefully you grow that, and there's a significant amount that can be done over the years. But now there's a place for individuals that are looking to gift directly to that type of need. They have that opportunity. So it's very exciting.
Mr. Peterson, going forward, I guess if not so much in, you know, 5 years or 10 years, but in 2015, what would you like to see happen at the Keweenaw Community Foundation?
Well, that's a good another good question. I mentioned kind of our goal in the beginning is to raise money, to grant money, but another part of our goal, I think, is to be catalysts in the community. Barb Rose had started up a program called the Keweenaw Youth Farm, which is a good example of that, where we brought several organizations together to address the obesity issue in our area. So that type of, that's an incredible program. That was kind of a pilot program. It was a stretch for the board, I can tell you, to get their mind around that. This is a little bit different than what we've been used to. We used to raising money and giving it out. This is not necessarily about the money, but bringing the community together, you know, using the schools, the farmers, the kids, the lunch people, to create a healthy program in the education curriculum, just to teach our youth about healthy eating and those habits. So I think going forward, those types of programs, I think working with Jim to identify more of them and perhaps to expand that program to other schools. This was a pilot program with the Jeffers Schools and South Range Elementary. Mm-hmm. Judged by its early success, there's definitely a need there. So how to bring that to other community schools, perhaps maybe kind of a front burner thing. But even kind of to pick up on that theme, just how to we as a foundation bring these smaller groups together that perhaps couldn't have done it on their own, but with some help from us can do some really exciting things. So how we fit that in, I think it's we're not exactly sure. That's with the help of Jim and some strategic planning. We'll type to work on that for 2015. So that's also exciting and new for us as a foundation.
All righty. Well, that'll wrap up this segment of Copper Country Today. I'd like to thank Brent Peterson for coming in this morning to talk about the Keweenaw Community Foundation. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Our program is brought to you in part by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, proud supporters of the Copper Country Humane Society and the Keweenaw Spay and Neuter Assistance Group. You can also listen to a podcast of our program by going to the Copper Country Today page at KeweenawReport.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Copper Country Today.